Did you watch the LeBron movie?
I haven't had a chance yet because Aaron wants to see it.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to get a sitter.
Yeah. It's not bad. There's a couple LOL moments, but I don't like how the LeBron storyline is resolved. It really isn't.
Oh, it's not?
No, he just sort of goes away. Like, he's in a scene, and then that's it. And there's just no more LeBron in the rest of the movie. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Although he's not the only Cav that appears in the movie.
Oh, really? I knew Amari has a spot in it.
Sure does, and that's a big hint as to who the other Cavalier is. There's a scene where Amari's knee operation is successful, and he comes back and plays in the opening game at Madison Square Garden with the Knicks.
Oh,
J.R. Smith.
J.R.'s
on the floor.
In it.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I was pissed. I was like, bullshit! Because not only did his knee not fucking work, he didn't even play for the Knicks that year. He tried to play for the fucking Mavericks last year, and his knee was too fucked up. He couldn't play. And we all know that the first fucking game of the season for last
season
was in Cleveland, and it was the Knicks.
And they won.
Right, and they did, and it fucking ruined my night. But I was like, the basketball makes no sense. And Sarah's like, shut the fuck up. And she was right. I should have. But, I mean, come on. Don't insult me, Amy Schumer.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. They came home to bury mom and her killer. I am Dave, joined by the Andre 3000 to my Marky Mark. Ryan, I forgot to say your name.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to finish it, or just, I'm Andre 3000 this week. I guess that's
fine. He is Ryan, I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline this week, they came home to bury mom and her killer. If you know what movie that's from.
I find myself more of a Tyrese, though.
Hit us up. Nobody wants to be a Dillahunt. Or Headland, whatever his name was. Garrett Headland. MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp. Twitter @MoviesOnUp. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up with your best bet, and you will win 1, 2, 4 lovely Movies on Up prize packets. This week, Fantastic Four hits theaters, so we thought, let's do a Fantastic Four episode. Ryan came up with that because he is the master of words. Because we had no other ideas, we just decided Fantastic Four is coming out. I like the cast.
And we like the cast. I think that's more or less it. We were just like, oh, these are fun actors. I'm sure they've got some really good movies.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Too. I like the cast. Not so much a lot of their previous work so far. I don't know how I like this cast so much.
Really?
I mean, I got a top five, and I have a couple also-rans, but it's not as diverse as I had wanted it to be.
I feel like we might have some crossover on
I that. Don't see how we wouldn't. But so these are our favorite movies. I thought I would have a lot more to choose from. I really don't. My criteria was mostly I tried to make sure they were in like starring roles, like in that top three or four build. Was kind of what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I got all that.
And I went...
Except for my number one.
I didn't go deep in the cast. I went the Fantastic Four, and I went Dr. Doom. Because I did have to reach out to get Dr. Doom in there to fill out my top five. But
that's your boy, too.
I do love some Tobey Kebbell, and I didn't even put Dawn of the Planet of the Apes on there.
That's my also-ran.
Yeah.
I knew. I was like, Dave's going to have
I didn't
some
put
Tobey
it on
Kebbell.
Just because he's so good in that movie. I think he's circus-level good in that movie. But, I left it off because I've praised it enough. But enough about that. Your number five favorite Fantastic Four movie.
I like starting with one that I know is not going to be crossover because I know you hate this movie. And eventually, when we do a standalone Chronicle episode, I'm going to bring you to the dark side. But, I mean, I don't really think it's a dark side. I think it's a light side.
We've done a Chronicle episode.
Did we?
I'm pretty sure we did.
You're right. We did. You are right.
Did we do a chron? If
no,
you've been
did.
Listening to this show, have we done a Chronicle episode?
We did. I don't know why we were talking about doing another one. Because at some point you were like, yeah, maybe you can convince me that I'll like that. Apparently I didn't do it the first time, but fuck it. Let's do another Chronicle episode. This is kind of the first taste I got of Michael B. Jordan as a big movie star. And this wasn't really like a big movie, but I thought he was really, really good in it. And seeing Josh Trank, I can understand why they would put him to helm a superhero movie, because that is kind of...
So that's what Chronicle is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a supervillain origin story.
Sure. It's sort of a found footage superhero movie. These kids get their powers. I think that all of that shot really well, and it's interesting. Again, I understand why you would give Trank a franchise like this, and the fact that he's got Michael B. Jordan in it too, I think is only kind of makes that a little bit better. You kind of mentioned the supervillain origin story. That's what I wish Chronicle was about. I love Dane DeHaan in this movie. I think he's fantastic. I think Michael Jordan is good too. Alex Russell kind of sucks, but he's the one that they focus on. This movie would have been so much better if it would have either been about Michael B. Jordan's character or specifically Dane DeHaan's, because I think he is so good in this movie. Very different performances from each one, but I think that DeHaan gives much more of a varied performance than you usually see from a superhero movie. The depth that he brings to that character, the relationship that he has with his father, who's played by Michael Kelly in the movie, who is really good as this drunken asshole, you understand, and it makes DeHaan's character super sympathetic, and he ends up obviously being the bad guy in the movie. But I would love it if this movie was only about DeHaan's character, even if he didn't have two buddies that sort of got these powers at the same time, if it was just about DeHaan and sort of why he becomes a villain to try and rob a gas station so that he can have money to go buy his mom some medication. I mean, that's such a heavy story in what is a superhero movie. I think it's great. I really like the movie. I like DeHaan and Michael B. Jordan a lot. And it was my kind of introduction to Josh Trank too. And I liked what I saw from it.
Yeah, I don't like this movie. I think I'm on record saying that. I do really like Michael B. Jordan in it. I think he's criminally underused. I think he's really, really good. And DeHaan, I wasn't sold on DeHaan at the time. He is good in this movie, but he was the only good thing about whatever that crappy Spider-Man movie was called. The second one.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yes. He was okay in that, mm-hmm. despite a terrible, terrible script. So DeHaan as an evil person is kind of cool. My number five comes from 2000. It's not a superhero or a supervillain origin story, but if you want to picture The Thing doing ballet dance, watch Billy Elliot, directed by Stephen Daldry, written by Lee Hall, starring a very young Jamie Bell. This movie was awesome. It was just a small little British movie. They're in a coal mining town. You have the dad and the brother are these macho men that they want their little...
They've got to be a macho man.
Yeah, they want their little Billy to be a boxer. He has no interest in boxing. He has interest in ballet dancing. And he's really, really good at it. The ballet angle's cool, but I mean, you know, we've seen movies like Bend It Like Beckham and various ones that are the same.
I don't want you to do X, but that's your passion.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not treading any new ground, but it brought a lot of heart, and this made me really interested in Jamie Bell. Like, I've been watching his movies since 2000. He's had a lot of them, and, you know, he's on TV now with Turn, but he was so good in this. And to have, like, a young kid carry this kind of movie, it's not a kid's movie. It stars a kid, but it's not a kid's movie. And he brought so much, like, depth and heart to this role that it was fantastic, and I thought it would launch an awesome career for Jamie Bell, and it has. We're 15 years later, and he's still getting these big-time roles.
Dancing his way onto the
screen.
Yeah,
so my number five was Billy Elliot.
My number four, we might as well just stay on the Jamie Bell train with 2013 Snowpiercer, directed by Jun Ho Bong, starring Chris Evans, Jamie Bell, and Tilda Swinton. I don't love this movie, largely because it's about a train, and I think trains are probably about the second most boring thing in the world. The most boring thing in the world is Chris Evans in this movie. But I do think that Jamie Bell makes up for it. He's somehow able to create a relationship that you really care about with Evans's character without getting much in return from Chris Evans. I think there's a lot of moments in this movie that should hit you more and should be more emotionally impactful than they are.
Like Jamie Bell's death.
Spoiler alert, yes. By and large, the performances on the other end of these are really good. I think John Hurt has a very good scene that he's not getting anything back from Chris Evans. And if he did, that would make kind of an impact too. It just seems that Evans's inability to do much of anything really drags the movie down. I like a lot about it. I like why they're on this train and why they're the only ones still around. I think it's cool, kind of the caste system. I mean, you think of like the Time Machine with H.G. Wells, where you had the Morlocks that live underground. It's very much like the people that were at the back of the train trying to fight their way up to the surface or to the front of the train. And that's kind of a cool idea, but I just think that Chris Evans was so bad. And maybe bad's not the right word. He was just so milquetoast.
I'm going to disagree a little bit here. It wasn't the greatest movie. I don't think you're giving Evans enough credit, but yet I'm not going to praise him in it. I feel like Evans needed to be at a 10 the whole time because he carried the movie. I think he was close. He was an 8 for most of it, but when he really needed to turn it up to 11, he turned it down to 6 or 7. I thought he was passable, but the times he was really needed is when he didn't show up. And there was some really good stuff in there written for him. So it's not that he did poor with a poor script. Like, he had some really good stuff to do. He just didn't have the chops to pull it off. It did hurt the movie, but the tunnel scene is worth it to me. The classroom scene, I think, is there's some really fantastic stuff in this movie. But yeah, if you put a Brad Pitt or somebody in there, it's going to be a completely different movie. And I say that, I'm a sucker for Chris Evans. Jamie Bell was really good in this. The moments that needed to stick out.
If you put Sunshine Chris Evans in this, I think it's great. But where the hell did that guy go?
Yeah, give me Mace. But I almost put this on there, but I left it off. My number 4, I'm afraid this might be crossover. It might be on your list, and I wouldn't be shocked if you have it a little higher.
It probably is, and it probably is.
It is from 2013, starring, you want me to wait?
No, go ahead.
Starring Michael B. Jordan, it is Fruitvale Station, written and directed by Ryan Coogler.
That's not the one from 2013 I thought you were going to go with.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. I left this one off because I knew you were going to take it.
It's a really good movie about the Oscar Grant shooting. It's one of those that's hard to praise how good it is. It's fantastically well made. Is it a movie I want to watch all the time? Absolutely not. I watched it once. That's enough for me. But Michael B. Jordan is a movie star. Like, I knew it going in, and this just confirmed it. He's so good, because Oscar Grant may not be the best kid, but you really care for him. You really like him. You know what's going to happen. Like, I doubt many people go into this not knowing that Oscar Grant gets shot in the back on the ground. Like,
oh, I think it says that right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, you see the video.
You know that's what happens, but yet you still want, in your mind, like, maybe, you know, the Red Witch will resurrect him or something. Like, you're trying to think he falls in the Lazarus pit. Something's going to happen to save Michael B. Jordan, because he's this character that you don't want anything bad to happen, even though he may not be the best guy around. But
he's creeping.
He's so damn likable. And Coogler is actually directing Creed, starring Michael B. Jordan, which I am so stoked for that movie.
As many robot movies and switched identity movies as we have, take it or leave those. I'm jacked about both the boxing movies that we've got. I think Southpaw looks great. And I'm on the Creed train, too.
Like, once Creed comes out, I don't know when it comes out, but I hope we do a favorite boxing movies. I know I've done it off the top of my head, but that would be one of those episodes. Like, if we ever did an episode featuring favorite movies starring rappers. Like, it would be one that I would just get super, super excited about.
That's a good idea. We should do that next week.
All right. So my number 4 is Fruitvale Station.
I like that. I thought Octavia Spencer was really good in that. She's pretty good in Snowpiercer, too. It's just kind of odd that she happens to show up in smaller parts. She's Oscar Grant's mom in Fruitvale Station, but she's really good. My number 3 is my first movie starring Miles Teller. I have a couple on here. This one is from 2014. Starring Miles Teller, I think most people probably remember J.K. Simmons from Whiplash, and for good reason, directed by Damien Chazelle. I think it's the best performance from Miles Teller on my list, but not necessarily my favorite movie, as you'll find out here pretty shortly. He is outshined by J.K. Simmons, who had to be, not that they show you, you know, the tallies from the Academy Awards, but I have to believe he won in a landslide for Best Supporting Actor. He was absolutely a force of nature in this movie. And what I love about the movie, and where I think that it maybe gets undersold, I mean, I think everybody kind of realized that J.K. Simmons was really good in it, but I think the movie as a whole, I love the soundtrack. I love the way the soundtrack's used. I love the way that it's shot by Chazelle, because it's you feel the tension as we're building to that particular section in Whiplash that Teller's character just can't seem to get through. And if a movie can take a subject that I'm not particularly interested in, like jazz drumming, and keep you absolutely transfixed the entire time, I think that's really saying something. I mean, there's no, you know, transforming robots. There's no superheroes in it, but you still manage to have this incredible movie villain, which J.K. Simmons' character is, just this asshole of a music teacher who's just berates the guy so bad. And then Teller really kind of just digging in and playing those drums until he's bleeding everywhere and the blood's flying. I mean, it kind of maybe seems like it's being melodramatic in this world where, oh, come on, guys. I mean, we're really just talking about drumming. It's only just music, and that should be fun. But I think you kind of get the impression that this might actually be how things are in that world of serious musicians where they will battle it out with each other to spectacular results.
This was one of my also-rans. I thought you probably would have it. I only didn't put it on just because it's not a Miles Teller movie to me. He is the star, and it is his movie, but it's a J.K. Simmons movie.
Absolutely,
I mean,
100%.
It's, for what Teller has to do and to try to share the screen with J.K. Simmons at that level, he does fine. He does better than most would, but that's J.K. Simmons' movie all the way.
Yeah, I think, like, to go with jazz drumming, which is kind of an offbeat thing, I'm going to use an even more offbeat thing, like figure skating. Miles Teller came out and got, like, a 9.9, and he's like, all right, this is great. And then J.K. Simmons got a 10.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's really not even that close between the two, but it's a great performance by Teller. He just got absolutely outshined by one of the best performances I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. My number three kind of defeats the point I just made about leaving Whiplash off, because this is not Toby Kebbell's movie. It's 100% Patty Considine movie. It is from 2004, directed by Shane Meadows, a director I love a lot. It is Dead Man's Shoes. Patty Considine is a former soldier who has a mentally challenged brother, played by Toby Kebbell, that gets some mean people do some really bad things to him. So he comes back to get revenge. It's a very, very fantastic movie. The relationship between Considine and Kebbell is really, really good. Toby Kebbell plays the role very, very well. It can be cringeworthy when actors play mentally handicapped people, because there's a fine line between caricature and trying to nail it. And I think Kebbell did nail it. The chemistry between the brothers in this were good. And it's not John Wick. It's not soldier comes back to get revenge the way you think it is. It's not just Patty Considine blowing headshot after headshot. It's a very slow burn revenge movie that's very, very awesome. And Shane Meadows had a run in the early 2000s where he was putting out really good, really gritty, real dramas that were action movie plots. And this is one of those. Just a fantastic, fantastic movie.
My number two is also from a director that I think you like an awful lot. At least I know that I do. It's from 2013, starring that man again, another Miles Teller jam. It is Spectacular Now, directed by James Ponsell, starring Teller, Shailene Woodley, and Brie Larson. Around these parts, we, or maybe just me, I think occasionally I get accused of being a bit of a shill for Woodley, and she's great. But I think it's really more accurate to say that I'm a shill for Ponsell. We've already done an episode on Smash, which, I mean, I loved the movie, I loved the episode, and I would be absolutely okay with doing a standalone episode for this flick, too. I think both movies have really, really good performances by the lead. I don't want to say specifically the male leads, but because I'm talking about Miles Teller, I think Aaron Paul was amazing and smashed, and I think Teller was really, really good here. They both play alcoholics. Both movies do have a lot to do with alcoholism and the character's ability to sort of relate to the rest of life. In this one, maybe specifically, Teller's life as a whole, not just necessarily his relationship. I think that Teller was the kind of charismatic addict that you kind of want to root for. You want him to get his shit together. Again, maybe a little bit like we said with Michael B. Jordan in Fruitvale Station, like Oscar Grant was maybe not the best guy, But, you know, you still don't want bad things to happen to him. You somehow, you know, don't want him to get shot at the end. You're just rooting for Teller's character to be able to get off the sauce and get his shit together, because he seemed like a kid that had quite a lot going for him, and you did want to root for him. I guess while we're at it, I think we might as well, while I'm saying we should do James Ponsoldt episodes, I wouldn't be at all opposed to doing an episode on the Jesse Eisenberg, Jason Segel jam that Ponsoldt's got coming out, the end of the tour that comes out.
David Foster Wallace movie?
Yes. That came out at the end of July. I think at this point, by the time this episode comes out, I think that movie's already out, and I think I drove 600 miles to see it, and I think I loved it. But, I mean, I like James Ponsoldt. I think he's a really great filmmaker. He gets tremendous performances out of everybody that shows up in any of his movies. Mary Elizabeth Winstead was great in Smash. Woodley was tremendous in Spectacular Now, and the characters, you like all of them. You understand where they're all coming from. You root for all of them. They seem very, very real. I love his movies. And I like this one an awful lot. I didn't expect to, but I really did.
I left this one off because I assumed you would have it on there.
I talk about it a lot.
And I figured I would get to talk about it, because the scene between Bob Odenkirk and Miles Teller, you talk,
he's begging him, basically, like, you're a good kid. Just,
you talk about the acting in it and just the exchange of dialogue there where, I guess if I were your dad, I would yell at you or something. And if you were my dad, you wouldn't have to. Like, it's just that exchange right there is so powerful. And Teller's really good in that. And Woodley, that girl's so electric on screen. And for him to hang with her and pull it off, it was a really, really good movie. My number two, it's another one of those where it's not a Toby Kebbell movie, but he's fourth billed. It's a relatively small part, but it is 2013's The East, starring Britt Marling, Alexander Skarsgård, Ellen Page, and then Toby Kebbell. He plays Doc, part of the eco-terrorist group that Alexander Skarsgård leads, that Britt Marling infiltrates. I don't know if we've done an East episode.
I think we've done a lot on The East. I mean, we talk a lot of Britt Marling stuff, a lot of Another Earth.
Like, I feel like if we haven't done an East episode, I think we should at some point. The movie's so good. Britt Marling is such a fantastic actress, but an even better writer.
Yeah.
And she knows how to write for herself. What she did in Sound of My Voice was fantastic.
This is my least favorite of those three. I love the other two. And I'm not saying that this is a bad movie. It's just,
it's tough. I think this is probably the most rewatchable.
After you know what happens at the end of those other two movies.
Yeah, I mean, for lack of a better term, this is the most mainstream, the most accessible movie that she's done.
It's less on the sci-fi and more like, oh yeah, there's eco-terrorists.
But it's another one. She knows how to leave you wanting more. And, I mean, Toby Kebbell's good in it. I just think it's a fantastic movie, and I was really reaching for movies at this point. Like I said, I left Whiplash off. I left Spectacular Now off because I assumed you would mention
you know,
those.
We're not going to have any crossover.
I don't think we are.
I know we're not, because I know that my number one would disqualify me on your list. So I know we don't, which is really, it's interesting because of the movies that you left off. I left off Fruitvale Station and almost any Toby Kebbell movie, because I knew that that was your boy and you were probably going to have at least one or two. But I'm surprised that we didn't have any crossover with the Teller, but
see, I thought my number one would be crossover, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's not.
You can probably guess what my number one is.
I was deep diving here at this point because I checked the filmographies of some of these folks, and I really like Kate Mara. I mean, I like her from House of Cards, and I figured, oh, she's probably got to have some movies that I really like. Not so much.
I love Kate Mara. I've had a crush on Kate Mara forever. I don't know where it came from. Because I wanted her to be on this list so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I've loved Kate Mara since, I don't know, I saw Shooter because she was in it. So at least since then, I don't know where I love her from, but
yeah.
I do.
Kate Mara, not pictured. I went pretty deep into Miles Teller, and I've got a Michael B. Jordan, and I got a Jamie Bell. And I'm just looking going, all right, well, who else can I get? And for whatever reason, I mean, House of Cards is kind of like a theme within a theme on this list. I mentioned Michael Kelly, who I think is fantastic in that show.
Did you do a Reggie Cathy movie for your number one?
I did do a Reggie Cathy movie for my number one. And there's a ton to choose from. I just went with what I feel like is the best. And I feel like obviously it's probably a cop out, but I think Kathy is a great character actor who's been involved in a ton of great projects. And if you put almost any list together, I do feel like Seven would probably be at the head of that list. So my number one Fantastic Four cast movie is David Fincher's Seven from 1995, starring Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, Kevin Spacey, and for all intent and purposes, Reggie Cathy. I've talked about Seven an awful lot on this podcast, and deservedly so. It's a great movie. Spacey is a phenomenal villain. I really don't know what else to say about his villainry in that, or why I want to talk even more about House of Cards. But I mean, it just sort of all comes back to that, where this is just a House of Cards episode for me. But I think that also shows how great he is as a bad guy. It's still one of my favorite climaxes in movie history. I think the tension that they build, and it's been, you know, several years, so like, yeah, spoiler alert, whatever, but you know, the whole what's in the box, it's phenomenal, and it still sticks out to me. That whole last scene, I think, is just filmed so wonderfully. It's so packed full
of tension. The whole movie, yeah, is filmed so wonderfully.
That, yeah, that's true, but for me, I mean, that last sequence, it's perfect filmmaking. If you want to know how to make a movie, just watch this. This is all you need to see. That's it in a nutshell.
Seven's fantastic. Sometimes movies come up that I just want to do an episode on. Seven is one of those because it's such a fantastic. We just don't do that many movie episodes unless it's Star Wars. my number one is the unprecedented back-to-back Movies on Up favorite movie of the year for both 2013 and 2014. It co-stars Jamie Bell, starring alongside Imogen Poots, James McAvoy, Eddie Marzan. It is Filth, directed by John S. Baird, based on the amazing Irvine Welsh novel. Jamie Bell has a key role in here, although it's not giant. He is second billed, though. And he's really funny is like a weird word to say. Like, just the way he plays his role is really interesting.
The whole movie's weirdly funny.
Yeah. That's one way to say it. But Jamie Bell fits in perfectly because for his role, he kind of approaches it the right way. He's got a really tough role to play in there, and he does it well. I mean, it is 100% McAvoy's movie, though. This is the McAvoy movie. Like, if you don't like James McAvoy,
if you don't agree that he's already pulled the McAvoy turn,
watch Filth, because right, he destroys it in this movie. It's one of my favorite performances ever because he's that good. And it's such an odd, unique movie that he had so much to do. He's all over the place, and he pulls it off throughout the entire thing. Pooch, Jamie Bell, Eddie Marzan's role is really, really good. Just such a fantastic movie, and I realize it's a Fantastic Four list that I should ramble more about Jamie Bell in this, but and we've talked about Filth a lot, so, but Jamie Bell, just, I don't want to ruin anything for people that haven't seen it, because I still think a lot of people haven't seen this movie. It is on Netflix. Watch it now, though. I just think Jamie Bell does really well with what his character is, and it's a really good performance in a long career of really good performances. So that's my number one. Did you have any also-rans
that we didn't already mention? When I dove into that Reggie Cathy, there's a lot of movies that I could have picked. The Machinist, I think, is really good. That didn't quite make the list. Jamie Bell was in the King Kong Jam. The other ones, Fruitvale Station and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, both sort of came up. So
I wanted so badly to have Kate Mara on the list. I had Shooter as an also-ran. And then I squeezed 127 Hours in there, which, yeah, for a Danny Boyle movie, usually I would put it up there. But it's, do you remember Kate Mara was in that movie, really?
No, I just happened to know she was because I did the same thing you did. I was like, how am I going to get Kate Mara on this,
yeah,
list?
So
by talking about House of Cards, that's how.
Those were my only also-rans. What did we miss? What are your favorite Fantastic Four movies?
The new one. I don't need to have your favorite Michael Chiklis movies.
Yeah, leave off your favorite Ian Gifford movies.
Yeah, and Jessica Alba.
Or Jay Underwood, is that his name?
Yeah, sure.
From the unmade Fantastic, well, it's made. I have a copy of it. But next week we have an episode. Listen to our news episodes.
That movie's about rappers is picking up some traction here. That
sweet.
Might be next week.
I'm excited to see how high certain movies make it on my list. But check me out, DaveBasella.com, @DaveBasella on Twitter. Podcast.com is my other shows. There should be some episodes coming up at some point. And check out the news episodes. Myself and Mike Mann have been trying to do a news episode each week. So we're trying to keep them short. But we will be back next week with some awesome. I'm excited
we'll
for that episode. Yeah. And until then,
keep it up.